So a bunch of parents were surveyed as to this one question. What do you think is the number one desire that most of you want for your families? And so when the parents were surveyed, they said, "Father, you know, I just want a happy family. You know, just for the kids to get along, no screaming, no shouting, no eye rolling, just for one day." At which I responded, "Are you sure we're living on the same planet? Have you seen your kids? Good luck with that, you know?" Just kidding. All right, but then the second thing that most people and most families wanted was a healthy family. So whatever, the thing that doesn't make the list, though, and perhaps is the most important, is another H word. Nobody said that they desire a holy family. Most people want happy and healthy families, but for some reason, the word holy never comes up because I think sometimes we see it as unattainable. Is it really possible for you and I, your brother and sister, mom, dad, son, daughter, husband, wife, or even your mother-in-law, to be holy? To be fair, the feast day of the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, sets the bar pretty high. So we have Jesus, right, who's the Son of God, perfect, walks on water, like literally. And then we have Mary, immaculately conceived, no sin at all, ever. And then we have poor Joseph. If anything went wrong with the family, I mean, it couldn't be possibly Jesus and Mary's fault. They were literally perfect, right? Just kidding, St. Joseph, please forgive me, right? But the Bible describes him also as a just and righteous man and is one of the greatest saints of the church. So what can the Holy Family and today's feast offer us? Just because the Holy Family consisted of sinless and nearly sinless members, it doesn't mean that they didn't experience their fair share of hardships. Despite their situations, though, it's important to see how they responded. Joseph had to deal with Mary's pregnancy outside of marriage, and his thoughts were either to divorce her quietly and save her the shame, or he might have been so overwhelmed by the truth that Mary was actually conceiving God's child, and who was he in his weakness and abilities to take care of such a child? And so either way, thoughts of divorce and separation ran through his mind. How many families have had families with pregnancies outside of marriages, or where one or both spouses have seriously contemplated divorce? The Holy Family experienced homelessness and poverty. They had to flee from persecution and became refugees in Egypt. Our Blessed Mother was widowed at a young age, and so she not only had to experience the death of her husband, St. Joseph, but had to live through seeing the pain and suffering of her son, Jesus, dying on the cross. How many family members today, right here in these pews, have experienced death or are now experiencing the suffering and pain of a dying family member? Then in today's gospel, we see Mary and Joseph's anxiety in searching for Jesus. Parents might know the feeling of losing their children in a grocery store for a few minutes, but imagine multiplying that, right? For 3 days. And the response Mary and Joseph received from Jesus was, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Did you not know that I must be doing my Father's business, doing my Father's will?" But something in Jesus' answer reveals the key to holiness for families. He desires to be in his Father's house. And the only way we can arrive at our Father's eternal dwelling place is by putting his will first in our lives. The Holy Family was holy because they were open, even in the most difficult and troublesome situations, to ask themselves the question, "What is your will, God? And how can I follow it?" What is your will, God? And how is it that I can follow it? See, transformations can occur within the most difficult families when this question is asked. And one unexpected transformation occurred with Millie's family. Millie had made an awful mistake, this is a true story, and she wanted to come home. Married at 18, she grew restless 10 years later, and with 3 kids to care for and the weight of adulthood bearing down on her, she soon found excitement in the arms of another man. For 4 months, she met this man in secret, and their passionate love affair gripped her entire life. She soon left her husband and kids and moved in with this man just minutes from the town where she used to live. And her husband, although devastated, refused to give up on their vows. And so he wrote notes and left messages. And one occasion, he actually physically picked her up to take her to church to talk with their pastor. All to no avail. She responded with, "I don't need you. I'm finished with all of you." One morning, Millie woke up and the reality sank in. And her one thought was, "What in the world have I done?" She had taken the man who loved her unconditionally and her three children and left. And the crashing wave of what she had chosen in the past year washed over her, and so she decided to say, "I'm going to go home." So she found herself in the front doorstep of her house for what seemed like an eternity before knocking. And her husband opened it, but she couldn't look him in his eyes, and she was physically shaking. And he took the first step, however, and said, "Millie, welcome home." 1 week home, 1 week of moving towards making things right and reuniting with her family, and a bombshell soon hit. Millie discovered she was pregnant. The news meant one obvious thing. She was carrying the child of her lover. An unexpected and fully unwanted pregnancy with a child who could be a permanent reminder of the biggest mistake she had ever made and the very real deep pain she had inflicted on her family. Millie knew what she wanted to do: end her pregnancy, get an abortion. But first, she decided to break the news to her husband. It was at this point when she told her husband that he said, "I'm asking God now, what is it that he wants for our family?" And he says, "Welcome this child. And when I said to you on the front steps, 'Welcome home,' it was without conditions. And I want to raise this child as my own." Millie would later say that her husband became a perfect picture of who God is. She said, "I could see him in my husband's face. I saw mercy, and I didn't deserve my husband, but the whole time he made it known that he was waiting for me. And that kind of forgiveness and love can only come from God. And now my husband is my daughter's father." Millie, her husband, and their family don't fit the typical mold of what we think of as a holy family. But it was precisely in asking that question, "What is your will, God? What do you want me to do?" Perhaps that morning when Millie woke up for the first time and she's like, what am I doing? Or when her husband's response to the front doorstep, "What do I do, God? Do I welcome back my wife?" To Millie keeping her child and her husband willing to raise the daughter as his own. Each of those difficult and hard yeses to God's will, that's how the lives of holiness flourished in their families, and their marriage was strengthened. After the Holy Family, there is no perfect family. And even with the Holy Family, they did not have a perfect life, free from all anxieties and worries. But they did respond to God's will with a yes, putting aside their own desires, temptations towards selfishness, and lived each moment one by one for God and for each other. It was in putting God first, saying yes to him, that the Holy Family offers us an example of hope, that by responding to God's grace freely given, a happy and healthy family is possible for us too, but only when we strive to be holy first.